from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I mean, they play good football all around. They're an all-around team. And obviously, the quarterback's elite. So anytime you go against an elite quarterback, those are the guys that, you know, move the needle on wins and losses. And so you have to defend a really good quarterback.
That is the Cardinals defensive coordinator, Nick Rallis, calls Josh Allen elite. Of course, we got two quarterbacks in this game that are dual threats. Bills head coach Sean McDermott talked about defending Kyler Murray in that way. Joining us on the Western Hotline, we've talked to him before. Alex Clancy joins us as we get chatting about this opening matchup, Bills and Cardinals. Alex, thanks for getting up early and joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
So talk to us about Arizona this year, and maybe we'll start with expectations, right? If you get a full year of Kyler Murray, what kind of team can this Cardinals team expect to be?
Could be a top 10 offense. The defense is going to be the big-time question mark. Is the offense and firepower going to be able to outweigh the shortcomings of the defense is really going to be the storyline here. It's the way I kind of describe it is last year's offense for the Cardinals is this year's defense, or it's a year away, trying to get some proof of concept in place, trying to find where your stars are and move forward. But at least the Cardinals offense can carry the weight you'd think for the majority of the season if everybody stays healthy.
Sometimes we think about like defensive coaches versus offensive coaches. Here's Arizona with Jonathan Gannon, right? I mean, he made his name in Philadelphia as a defensive coach. Is it the kind of thing where he's just slowly building a defense and they had enough pieces and things fell right offensively for that to be the strength of the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think also drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., number 4 overall, was a clear indicator of what they wanted their strength to be this year. Because Cardinals fans have a tough time understanding, and it was pretty clear to me initially where it's like, if you're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., number 4 overall, and not trading back, let's say Minnesota, where you could have got a couple first-rounders and built the defense, that was a decision made that the rebuild process will take longer because they didn't maximize what they could have from a from drafting players' perspective in the first round and just sticking and picking at number 4. Yeah, but Drew Petson has done a great job. I think Jonathan Gannon and Nick Rallis have what they want scheme-wise, and now it's just infusing talent. They've got over $90 million to spend next offseason, so it'll be a quick fix at the end of the season.
How
how good do you think it's going to be for Harrison? I don't know how much you would have seen him at training camp, and he didn't really play in the preseason. Most of their starters didn't, but I mean, the hype is historic, and I don't know. I feel like it could be historic for him, even maybe right away.
Yeah, everything is really easy, guys. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, you see Lamar Jackson in space, and it's just easy. It's just easy. And the best part about it is he's not even going to be the first option. Like, they didn't draft him to save the offense. It's going to be James Conner, it's going to be Trey McBride, and then it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. And having the ability to not have to come in and be an all-world save-everything guy, he can just learn the NFL game at an organic level. Now, that could change super quickly, where he could be wide receiver one, he could be bona fide top 10 receiver at the end of the year. We have no idea. We saw Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase just come in and break the mold right away, but he doesn't have to. And that's, I think that's a very good thing for his development and growth as a player.
In the ways that they'll use him, is he a do-it-all?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that because Cliff Kingsbury's not the head coach anymore, it's going to be a lot less of just throw it down the field and hope he can go get it. I think it's going to be a lot of scheme. It's going to be a lot of through play action because defenses and the Bills are going to be the first one. You're going to have to decide whether to stack the box and stop the run and go one-on-ones on the outside and then in the slot with Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr. or have a light box and have James Conner and Trey Benson run all over people. So it's going to be like the Bills are kind of like the guinea pig for the rest of the NFL regarding, you know, what this Cardinals offense is going to look like and how to potentially stop it.
Trey McBride, you mentioned him. Like, he had a breakout season, and a lot of that was with Hollywood Brown injured, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it was kind of like McBride became the focal point of their offense, which I feel like that actually bolsters the idea that he's legit. There wasn't a lot out there to pay attention to. He would have been the focal point for them. And his breakout, where do you see him like?
Am I right also, Alex, in adding in there that I think, didn't his breakout happen after Zach Ertz got hurt?
Oh, him
and
too.
And he's no longer there. So I think that would obviously be cleared out for him.
Yeah, I think it was, the writing was on the wall for Zach Ertz anyways. But yes, it forced the issue a bit. Trey McBride, and this isn't, you know very well that I'm not looking at this from a Homer perspective whatsoever. Like, Trey McBride has tight end one potential. Like, his comp out of Colorado State, taken the second round, was George Kittle. He's been a very good blocking tight end. Now they drafted Tip Raymond out of Illinois. They've got Isaiah Huggins, who's another good blocking tight end. This dude could play bona fide Jimmy Graham tight end football, not have to block as much, and run absolute roughshod. He can run over anybody that's not 250. And that's the important part, where they don't have to force him the ball because he gets open. And it's the wildest thing to witness, is it's been this slow, incremental just uptick. And I think this is the year of explosion for him, where he's going to be a true household name even outside of fantasy football circles.
Yeah, that was going to say, because in fantasy circles, that's definitely the case. I mean, he's going as sometimes the second guy, third guy, fourth guy at least. It's usually the lowest you'll ever see it. The offense around those three, I mean, Kyler Murray being back. Well, I guess, did we even really talk with you about him for this year? I mean, he's been around for a few years now, but it's kind of, is it time for him to kind of put it all together or have a giant year? Because between Harrison and McBride, and I know the other weapons are at least pretty good, it feels like they're giving him most of what he needs.
Yeah, I think that is a very, very polite way of saying this is when we're going to find out who Kyler Murray really is. And I don't see it being a negative conversation at the end of the year. I mean, he's never had this ecosystem. He's never had this leadership from the front office and coaching staff. He's never had this type of offense. You'll see Drew Petzing being towards the top of the list for head coaching jobs if this offense pops like it's supposed to. This is something that, first of all, is the most balanced offense he's had, by far the most skilled position talent, and pretty much by far the best offensive line if everybody stays healthy. So there's not a world, in my humblest of opinions, where he's not looked at as, if the Cardinals, I don't know, win 9 games this year or something, he's going to be getting top 10 MVP votes. He's not going to be a guy towards the top, but he's a guy that will surprise you. And again, in fantasy circles, he's the value pick in the 5th or 6th round that everybody's taking. This is where you see the real Kyler Murray that everybody's been waiting to see for the first, you know, handful of years.
Alex Clancy on the Cardinals. How about the matchup itself? Like, if you're looking at Bills, Cardinals, what you think Buffalo will be able to do successfully, what you think Arizona will aim to do to try and pull the upset?
So, I think, and you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, because these are two teams, as you very well know, there's a lot of question marks. And that doesn't mean negative. It just means, who are the playmakers you're going to be able to trust? Who are they going to be? And for me, I'll take the second part first. Keeping Josh Allen in front of you, this can't be a 10-carry, 100-yard because he took what the defense gave to him kind of thing. I never thought that I would say this, but you need to make Josh Allen throw the ball. It's got to be Josh Allen throwing the ball and not James Cook and Josh Allen running the ball for 200 yards. Like, that can't happen. You've got to take the weakness in a sense that you don't know what it is yet in the wide receiver room, and you've got to try to maximize that and just hope that your safeties can overcompensate for the lack of talent in the cornerback room. And then regarding the Cardinals, like, the phrase that I've used all offseason is the best defense the Cardinals will have this year is their run game, because the best defense you have against Josh Allen is keeping him on the damn sidelines. Like, this is James Conner and Trey Benson eating clock and scoring touchdowns and not having to settle for field goals if the Cardinals want to stay close on Sunday.
Last thing for me, Alex, the Cardinals in terms of making the playoffs this year and also comparing them to the division, do you feel like they have the division's going to be tough just because of the Niners, I'm sure, but making the playoffs, how realistic do you think it is?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's like, so say they double their wins from last year. That's eight. That is an incredible, jump from 1 year to the next. And that would still put them, what, two games out of a playoff spot? So all, like, my guide for a successful year for this team is being on that overlay of in the hunt in week 14. Like, that's
yep.
it. You know
yep.
what I mean? That's enough. Because we have no idea if the NFC is going to be top heavy or if all of the NFC North teams are now going to be, you know, playoff teams aside from probably Minnesota this year. Like, yeah, there's seven spots. It's pretty much been who gets to nine wins first makes a playoffs. But I think it might be different this year, and that could be the odd person out for the Cardinals. But if they win eight games, that's 100% increase from last year. And you got to give credit to the coaching staff and the players for that.
Alex Clancy, Locked On Cards. Alex, thanks. Enjoy the game.
You got it. Thanks, guys. You too.
Bills Cardinals Sunday, 1 o'clock. I'm in on Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm in on some Kyler Murray. I'm in on, what else? Like, everybody's got their own fantasy football DNA fingerprint. You know, ask me a player. I'm in nine leagues, so I don't have like 50.
Trey Benson?
I have some Trey Benson.
Mm-hmm.
Name a player in the league. Do I have any?
Do you have how much Josh Downs?
A little bit of Josh Downs.
Chuba Hubbard.
None.
There you go. The Panthers, nobody wants a Panther.
Do you have this?
Wait, one more. Davante Adams.
None.
Because he is someone that nobody feels good drafting him. Nobody is excited to draft Davante Adams.
Sometimes it's wouldn't feel good, wouldn't do it. Other times it's I don't have him in Dynasty, and he never came up in the neighborhood where I picked in any sort of these redrafts yet.
Right.
Like, Chuba Hubbard, there's probably a list of 17 to 30 guys. If you gave me 1,000 drafts,
yeah,
I would unconsciously or subconsciously
never pick them.
And Chuba Hubbard is 100% one of those guys.
Yeah.
You could give me 10,000 drafts and I would always be like, who else? No, I don't want that guy.
Chuba Hubbard.
Never.
It's always a better idea.
Never.
I'd rather reach on blank because it's just maybe.
And I'm not telling you I'm going to be right about that. I just know once you get into a season on like your fourth or fifth draft, if you do that many, you start to realize like, oh yeah, there's that guy again. I've just never done it. I've never taken that player.
Yeah.
Why would I be doing that? I'm trying to think who else is on this list.
He was someone, not to go too far on Chuba Hubbard, but when I was looking up the other day, like where did James Cook rank in touches when Joe Brady was the coordinator? Hubbard was like one of three running backs that had more touches than him down the stretch. Like that dude was getting force fed in Carolina. I don't know if he's any good. But they don't have anybody else. Actually, they do. They have Miles Sanders still. But he's really bad. That's the least interesting game of week one, by far.
Carolina
right?
and New Orleans?
Carolina and New Orleans is... That's a last place fantasy punishment, is having to watch that game.
Hey, I got a question for you. Let's get stupid.
Okay.
It just came to me.
Let's get stupid. Does it involve the Carolina Panthers?
No.
Okay.
No.
Or Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard,
I think.
Canadian, by the way. Keep an eye on him for the Olympics in two years.
Here we go. Here it is. The next receiver to be a talk talking point. Could he move? Should he move? What will they do? Who am I going to say?
Devontae Adams?
No. No, like the next Ayuk. Who's the next Ayuk? Because Ayuk was...
Wait, what do you mean? Like,
what I mean was when Ayuk was going through... Somebody should trade for this guy. He will be amazing if you target him more. Ayuk was the next Diggs. Okay. Who's the next Ayuk? The next receiver that's going to get to Ayuk's spot.
I see.
And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say, the Bills should trade for that guy right now. The hint. Want me to give you the hint?
Sure.
I thought of it because you called his game this week the least interesting game in the league.
Chris Olave?
Yeah.
Chris Olave.
Chris Olave is a spectacularly good wide receiver.
He's the guy that they used in the graphic for the Saints today.
He is the best player on the Saints. He's living life with Derek Carr on a team in cap hell every year. I don't know how they're never... You know. Isn't Chris Olave a great candidate for... Are the Saints going to sign that guy? Are they going to tear it down? Are they going to rebuild?
They're going to rebuild. They're going to tear everything down
Chris
to the studs.
Olave.
This year, after this year.
There's your target.
All right,
you want to read
like that.
Everything you read about his grades, his reception perception. Like if I'm stashing, I think I have him in a dynasty league, and I like free him from New Orleans. He's a top five potential receiver on talent, and he's not going to get there on production with the Saints.
Top five.
As it is, if you look at dynasty rankings, he's like 11th because he's that good.
Yep.
But he's nowhere. He's not even in a good offense, never mind a good quarterback.
He was a guy I really wanted the Bills to take 2 years ago. They never got a chance.
What if they had done that?
Oh, my God. We'd be Super Bowl. We'd still be talking Super Bowl right now. He'll be going into year three this year. You think their year goes really bad. Year four is usually when you pay the guy, right? And they'll be probably tearing it all down. There is no way Dennis Allen and Derek Carr are still leading that team in 1 year.
And here's a late first-round pick for your troubles.
Oh, man.
And you get him even younger. He is this year 24 years old.
This is Ayuk. You're right. This is good. This is really the next... This is setting up perfectly. This is the next Ayuk. They are moronic if they don't pay him, though.
But if they do pay him, he's got to wait for whoever the next quarterback is. Like, that's another part of this.
See,
And that's where, you know, I don't know him as a person.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Diggs got out of Minnesota because he didn't believe in what they were doing. Receivers tend to force their way out because they don't believe in what's happening. And if you are him, I wonder if you would force to say, like, listen, I don't want to be here long term. I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah. Give me 6 months to build the energy back up to meet you at that point, because I got to that point with Justin Jefferson and then he signed back up to play with Sam Darnold. And
J.J. McCarthy.
I thought Jefferson would think the same way. I'm not going to play
with
the fourth quarterback picked in this draft and just explore. I'm not going to go into the quarterback wilderness with you, Minnesota. I'm on track to maybe be one of the best players ever. I'm not giving you 5 years for you to figure out your quarterback situation.
The only difference, I guess, would be Jefferson is here's the most money ever paid to the position, and I bet the Saints are trying to pay Olave like 25.
Okay, that's fair.
Mike on a cell phone. Thanks for indulging me. And got a little wide receiver train talk there. Mike on a cell phone. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you? I guess my biggest concern this year with the Bills is if you look at the last year, first 8-9 games of the season versus the last 8-9 games of the season. The first beginning of the season, they went out there with the idea that we're not going to let Josh get hurt. You look at the carries that he had the first 8 games versus the last 8 games, and he averaged almost double the carries the second half of the season. And what happened the second half of the season? We won almost every game. My concern is that they're going to go back to the way that McDermott talked last year. We want to limit Josh's carries. We want to limit his hits. And all of a sudden, we're 2-4 after 6 games because – he is such an offensive weapon, and he adds so much to our running game. I mean, you look at the last 2 games of the season last year. I mean, the amount of runs that he had, the amount of rushes, and they were planned runs. It wasn't just the scramble stuff, and he was killing the Chiefs. He is so good, And that's my biggest concern with the season. I'm just afraid they're going to put him in a bubble again, and they're going to start out the season by just letting, you know, James Cook run the ball. And we saw what happened in the Kansas City game in the second half last year when he had four rushes for minus 6 yards in the second half. And what happened to our offense?
Thanks, Mike.
I think a lot of that could continue into this year, because why did they run it with him the twice as much that they did the first half of the season?
Because they had to.
Yeah, and maybe they don't think that way at the beginning of the year, but it could happen as a few games go in and it's, all right, we're still kind of missing a little something here. So let's, you know, if there's ever a gap in the offense, it's let's fill it. He's like the what would you call it? The putty. You got a hole, you're going to fill it with some putty, and that's Allen running the ball. That's their offense. I don't know that they ever use it, though. Will they ever, again, use it to that extent unless they ever feel like they have to? Do they ever plan on it? Going into a year, hey, guys, we're going to run the ball with Allen 200 times this year. I feel like it's more of a, okay, these two things didn't work, so let's up it after the fact.
I always get torn on this. I don't want them to stop him from scrambling. I don't want too many designed runs. Once I see a third or fourth designed run, I think, why don't you have any better ideas than this, than putting your most important player in harm's way by running the ball like a running back?
Right.
I know we say that quarterbacks are more likely to get hurt in the pocket. That's because they're more often in the pocket, and that's a big part of it. But why do running backs' careers not last long? Why are they burnt out so fast? They take a lot of hits. And if you're running him like a power back, I feel like you're out of other ideas and you're leaning on him to a fault. You know, like this whole thing about they ask too much of Allen and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that is a lot of just, it's because they don't have running backs that rate. Last year, James Cook was the closest thing they got to that. For five straight years, we saw like, oh, they're going to draft a running back in the first round. And we'd say like, why would they do that? A running back that rates on this team, if they had signed Derrick Henry, how many times would they run Josh Allen? Some.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT!
The GOAT!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But less. If you would expect
first,
less.
First and goal at the two. Does Josh Allen have to be the guy? I don't think so.
Right.
When I want them to lean into Josh Allen is drop back Josh Allen. That's why, you know, I've been obsessed about weapons. And if the weapons they put together for him are good enough, then, you know, hey, we're going to be fine. I'm going to be just fine. But if they're lacking again, then what are we doing not leaning into and getting everything we can for this guy to wing it all over the field like so many of these other teams have invested in that same way? And the Bills did this year. You know, irony is not the right word, but the real twist is that this is the year that they invested in the rest of the receiver room. The whole time the number one guy was here being amazing, it needed a rest of the receiver room investment, and they never did it. Then they got rid of the number one guy, and they invested in the rest of the receiver room. Because watch, we were talking about the final drive against the Chiefs. Trent Sherfield, who had a drop in that game, too. Trent Sherfield caught a key third down. Deontay Hardy is on the field lined up wide on the game's final play. Deontay Hardy, how many catches does he have in the year? That couldn't be Curtis Samuel a year ago, or a similar player. That could have been a Keon Coleman 2 years ago. Like, this middle receiver room needed to be here already. It's kind of one of the reasons I'm still going to be focused on a number one, because I think the best idea for Allen long term is a fully stocked room, not a bunch of good guys who can do a lot of things. It's a true stud freak show and guys that can do all the things. You know? At once. 803-0550. Ravens talk when we get back. Sean Stepner, WMAR in Baltimore. We got to place our three-way parlay on tonight's game.
Yes, we do.
It's time. Jeremy and Joe, football season upon us on WGR. I am so excited.
Wait. Oh, the drop. The CBS drop as Brian Gumbel. No, wait, not Brian Gumbel. Who would be this guy? Kevin Harlan introduces.
Ian Eagle.
A J.P. Lossman Bills against. Who would the Jets quarterback
be? Andrew Catalan. A.J. Bouye and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
1 o'clock Sunday. It's the C team. For CBS, fire me up.
I'm going to start entering my full season of joy. It's the elite season. It's fall. It's football season. It's food season. And I'm about to just go fully into complaining about rules officials on broadcasts. I mean, just nothing makes me happier than being mad.
I think you have new rules analysts around the block, too.
Well, I'm
Steve Perry works for the Bills now, so there's a new ESPN guy.
Well, I can't wait to find out who it is and be upset that they're on my television. It's exciting. Sean Stepner joins us on the Western Hotline to chat about the Ravens who play tonight. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be back with you. J.P. Lossman talk. Are we in 2024 or am I back in the WKBW sports department? Circa 07, 08, getting ready for Bills, Jets, or Bills, Pats, or whoever.
Yeah, well, it's one of the reasons we're excited about the season is because offseason brings a lot of just meandering conversations, and we find our way to the drought probably more than we want to. You know, it's fun to look back on it as a time that is very much, in fact, in the past.
Absolutely. But yeah, good to be with you. I was back in Buffalo, actually, a couple weeks ago. The North Towns look great. I was up in Amherst visiting some friends for a bar in Bat Mitzvah. It was a great time. Was there for a couple days and loved being back. So everything looks great in Western New York.
Very good. All right, so a rematch of the AFC Championship game tonight as the Ravens are in Kansas City. What's going to be different this time for the Ravens? Like, if they're learning lessons from what happened to them last season, I feel like outsiders hear a lot of they should have run the ball a lot more against Kansas City. They go out and get Derrick Henry. Is that kind of it? Is it a run it back kind of scenario for Baltimore this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, what's going to be different? You said it. I mean, they have to run the ball more than six times by running backs. I mean, that's all. I mean, you think about that. I mean, Derrick Henry might have six carries on the first six snaps of the game just to prove, you know, Harbaugh wants to prove to everybody that they're still a running team. I mean, if you look back at that AFC title game, I mean, let's call it like it is. I mean, in my view, I think the coaching staff got a little spooked by the way the Chiefs were moving the ball in the first half, and they didn't want to really rely on their number one ranked defense, a team that, you know, was historically one of the best. Looking back at last year's defense, the first team in NFL history to finish the season ranking number one in points allowed, sacks, and takeaways, the Ravens last year. And in that AFC title game, I think the Ravens coaching staff thought that they were going to be in a shootout, judging by how the Chiefs were moving the ball early. They didn't run it. They relied on, you know, the passing attack. And the defense went on to hold the Chiefs scoreless in the second half. And we all know what happened to the Ravens. Huge disappointment for Baltimore and Ravens fans and that team. So what's going to be different? You know, I don't think much. You know, we can talk about the offensive line. That's the big weak point of this team. We can talk about, you know, new defensive coordinator, Zach Orr, who's been with the franchise, but this is his first year as defensive coordinator. But other than that, I mean, look, there's not much for the Ravens and Lamar when he's healthy, asterisk, to prove. I mean, there's not much more for them to prove other than when it gets to January in the postseason. You know, we know what they are expected to be in the regular season, which is a top contender. So I think that's where they think they are, and it starts tonight.
Yeah, let me get you on the offensive line, because I've read too about, like, that's one of their biggest question marks, if not their biggest question mark. Is it bad though, or is it just unknown? Like, do you think there's a point in the season where it could actually become better than it was because it's just a lack of experience, or do you think it's actually going to be a big problem all year?
I don't think it's going to be an epic fail, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to be a huge problem, but it's definitely the weakest point on this football team right now. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, part of that is the youth and experience. Part of that is chemistry and gelling together. I mean, these guys didn't play all together as a unit in the preseason. I mean, you look at, you know, last year they had Ronnie Stanley, which was one of his worst year, if not his worst year in the league at left tackle. He's a former All-Pro, but, you know, he didn't play like it, you know, far from it last year. Last year they had John Simpson at left guard, Tyler Linderbaum at center, Zeitler at right guard, Kevin Zeitler and Morgan Moses at right tackle, a veteran right tackle. I mean, Simpson, Zeitler, Morgan, they're gone. Stanley's back, coming off that down year. Andrew Voorhees is the left guard. He's going to be starting at left guard. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, but he's the guy at a USC who a couple of years ago tore his ACL in the combine and then kept going on the bench press, right? I mean, that was a huge story. But he fell. He was projected to be like a third-round pick. He fell to the seventh round, rehabbed for a year, and now he's a starter. Tyler Linderbaum is back. I mean, he's a top center in the league. And then you have Daniel Fa'alele at right guard, who hasn't gotten consistent playing time. And, you know, it's my belief that they wanted, the Ravens did, Roger Rosengarten, rookie out of Washington, who protected Penix's blind side at right tackle. They wanted him, I believe, to start coming into the season. I think Patrick McCary, who's really their kind of sixth man on the offensive line, you know, kind of the fill-in guy that they like, I think he's going to make the start tonight. They might rotate the two, but it's youth. And J-
general manager Eric DaCosta last week, he came out and said it. You know, they're paying a bunch of guys, including Lamar Jackson, Roquan Smith, Justin Madubuike, the defensive tackle, an extension. He had a 13 sacks last year. He's actually changed his name to Nnamdi Madubuike. But look, Eric DaCosta came out and said, look, we're going to have to, you know, make sacrifices at certain places in the roster. And they chose to go younger on the offensive line for financial reasons. And let's see how it plays out. It is certainly the question mark heading into tonight.
Sean Stepner, WMAR in Buffalo, or sorry, in Baltimore, formerly of Buffalo Television. So the Chiefs and this, I guess, this challenge that they present, the Baltimore defense, they did their job, right? They did their job last year in the AFC Championship game, holding the Chiefs to 3 points in the final three quarters of that game. Baltimore's defense expecting to be the same they've normally been?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be just fine. I mean, will they have an historic season like last year, like I mentioned earlier? You know, probably not. I mean, that's super rare, obviously. But I think they'll be okay. I mean, they lost Jadeveon Clowney. And, you know, Clowney he came to Baltimore and had a career year. He tied his career high in sacks. I mean, he was rejuvenated and he got paid for it. I think he went to Carolina. And, you know, they're banking on the pass rush of Adafe Owe, who really was kind of on the cusp last year, you know, former first-round pick. They're banking on Adafe Owe having a breakout year, David Ajabo coming on, and, you know, Kyle Van Noy, another veteran who had some success last year. He looked rejuvenated in this defense. They're planning on him, but you know, it's kind of same old when you're talking Ravens defense. The only, you know, huge question mark is Zach Orr at defensive coordinator, former Ravens linebacker and linebackers coach. Mike McDonald, who was the defensive coordinator, he goes out to the head coach. He gets the head coaching gig in Seattle. Zach Orr is promoted, so we'll see how they look tonight. I'm not really concerned about the Ravens defense.
It's a really long offseason, so you're going to get this about a lot of quarterbacks. There's just a lot of time in the day to analyze. But there was, you know, different shows, different conversations about Lamar Jackson in the playoffs this offseason, Sean. How fair is criticism of his playoff performances? It's 6 touchdowns, 6 picks. So that's a very, very simple way of looking at it. So I guess how fair is it?
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, the record doesn't lie. You know, and the record doesn't lie against the Chiefs, too, right? I mean, what is he, 1-4? I mean, criticism's fair. I mean, if you're a professional athlete, criticism is fair. You come to the territory, and when you're one of the best quarterbacks in the league and a 2-time most valuable player, absolutely criticism is fair. But Lamar knows that, and, you know, you're going to see tonight a slimmed-down Lamar. I mean, I don't know how much national talk it's gotten, but you know, when he showed up to training camp, really the off-season activities, he looks definitely slimmed down. He wanted to get faster. He lost 10 pounds from the AFC title game last year. He's going to play around 205. That's what he wants to play at. And, you know, one of the reasons he slimmed down is he wanted to get faster. And the primary play to look at was that unbelievable play in the AFC title game where he got his pass batted up and then he caught it and he took off, but he was caught like just a few strides after he caught his own pass. And he firmly believes that if he didn't weigh as much, you know, if he was playing at the weight he's playing at now, he'd be faster and he would have turned that into a touchdown. I mean, that's what he thinks. He wanted to get slimmer. He wanted to get faster. And we'll see what that looks like starting this evening.
Very good. I want to offer a parting thought on Beck Malenstein, who the Sabres snagged from Washington. I mean,
Yeah. I think Sabres fans are going to love him. He's a, you know, he's a grinder, all out on every shift, block shots, penalty kills, out there at the end of the game. You're going to love Beck Malenstein. He really stepped up for the Caps toward the end of last season when they were making that playoff push and, you know, grabbed that final wild card spot. You're really going to love him. And while we're talking hockey, I really have to say I am fascinated by the Lindy Ruff rehire
by the Sabres. I mean, I cannot wait for the season to see what that looks like. I mean, when he got hired, I just found myself watching all of the Sabres content with a smile on my face, like the presser and, you know, him walking through, what is it now, KeyBank Center? Walking through and saying hi to James at security and everything, like, it brought a smile to my face. I mean, it's hard. It is so hard to believe that the last time they were in the playoffs, I was covering that team in Philly, Game 7, and Lindy was the coach. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's a mind blown kind of thing. But I'm fascinated, yeah. Fascinated by the whole thing.
I think it's a good word for it. I think a lot of Sabres fans are eager to see it work because he does have a good resume, Sean. Like, he's a good coach. We know that. The fact that he's got a history here probably is, the way I've said it is, it's such, they're lucky he likes them more so than the other way around. You know, like, could they get a coach this good that didn't love the organization? That's debatable. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Always good to catch up. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
Sean Stepner, WMAR, formerly of WKBW here in Buffalo. Chiefs and Ravens. I can confirm a guest for tomorrow.
All right.
If we played 20 questions, you would...
Wouldn't get it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm pretty confident. Have we never had a person on like this before?
Never had a person on like this before. The President of the United States.
Yes. Okay. There you go. That's it. No. Extendo Sports coming up. We'll get our three-way parlay, and I'll give you a little bit of a nugget about what this first-time guest will be tomorrow.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, it's Extendo Sports. Stay tuned, Northtown Automotive. Extra Point Show coming up from Northtown Kia on Sheridan Drive. Sales. There he is. Tweeted out a picture. You can say hi, grab a donut while supplies last, enter to win some bill stuff, all that good stuff. All right. We had a guest on, so we didn't do our Thursday three-way parlay. Let's go. It's time. Tonight, Ravens Chiefs. Joe once bet me that Ted Danson would be in the stands.
We still don't know for sure he wasn't.
That's
we
true.
Just never got
it was not on television. You did not win that bet. Yeah. Did I make any bets tonight? I'll go with Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Do you even know who Woody Harrelson is?
Yes, I know who Woody Harrelson
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. Yeah. Who's in Cheers?
He's
that
from
you don't
semi-pro.
You don't know who Kirstie Alley is?
No.
All right.
Would I know her from something?
Probably.
That isn't Cheers.
It's possible.
Woody Harrelson was in Cheers? So I know Woody Harrelson. Just
you didn't know he was in Cheers?
No.
You want to know what his character's name was?
Woody.
Yeah. That's right. He's Woody. Okay. Three-way parlay. What do you got? Josh, Joe, let's get one.
All right.
Ravens, Chiefs tonight.
I'll go. You guys want me to? You go first. You go
me?
First. Yeah.
I got
a long shot.
I'm just going Chiefs minus three. Big on this one today.
Boring.
Chiefs minus three.
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson over 48.5 rushing yards.
Okay, let me pull that up here. Lamar over on rushing yards.
Okay.
48.5.
All right. I'm going to get us the big bucks here. Carson Steele, anytime touchdown.
Love this.
Preseason MVP, the long flowing blonde hair, running back, fullback, does it all.
He's only plus 650 for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's okay.
I was hoping actually there would be a longer shot. He might be good. He might be good.
How about this? This $10 parlay wins 200, and there's a 50% profit boost right now. So 10 would win 300.
Let's go.
I'm going to put 5 on it.
All right.
All right, there it is. Our three-way Thursday parlay. Chiefs minus 3. Carson Steele anytime touchdown. Lamar over 48.5 on the ground. Good luck, everybody. We're back tomorrow. It's a football Friday.
Yes, it is.
It's a football Friday.
Yeah.
We've got Chris Brown, Sal, of course, our special guest that's going to be related to the stadium. Okay. Let's just say this. I've got, you know, we all have our sources.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like adding to my Rolodex of sources. I now have a stadium flyover source.
Oh,
yeah. How about that?
Okay.
How about that? Stadium flyover source. I'm excited. Okay, back tomorrow. Cheers. Enjoy the game tonight. Go anybody but Xavier Worthy. I don't know.
Go Carson Steele.
Yes, go Carson Steele.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.